1 Corinthians chapter 13, something that we're all very familiar with, where Paul extols the virtues of Christian love. Starting out in chapter 13, the apostle writes this: "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but not have love, I have nothing. And though I bestow all goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. And endures all things." Once he stops talking about love, Paul goes on to review the virtues of faith and hope. But he says in the end that love is the greatest of all. And we continue on in verse 8. "Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But then that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also know. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three." But at the end he says, "But the greatest of these is love." So the question I'd like to explore this morning is, why does the Apostle Paul say that the greatest of these virtues is love? So in order to answer that question, I think we should look at the meaning of faith, the meaning of hope, and we can compare and contrast with love. The meaning of faith. So in the New Testament, the word refers to two different things. Determining the meaning depends on the context into which it was used. So in the first, we're going to talk about the faith. And in Jude chapter 1, verse 3, I think we find a definition here. He says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." In this passage, the word faith refers to knowledge, a body of information concerning the Christian religion. In Ephesians 4, Paul says there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. What he also means by this, there's only one body of teaching about Christ that is authoritative. So faith can mean a doctrine or a teaching. We keep the faith, meaning we hold on and preserve the apostolic teachings of the Bible. So we talked about the faith, and now we talk about a faith. Hebrews 11, starting in verse 1, says this: "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that when we see what was not made of things which were visible." So the other meaning of the word here refers to a feeling, a decision we have made considering the matter. The Hebrew writer describes faith as a decision to believe as true and legitimate not only what he has seen God do, but also what God has written in His Word. Faith is a decision to believe as true that the world was created by God exactly as Genesis records, even if we were not there. We hadn't seen it, we haven't experienced, but we accept as true, which is faith, because God has said this is the way it was. So then the writer of Hebrews goes on to describe the lives, the sacrifices, and great deeds of men and women who decided to accept as true God's promise of a Savior. And then they lived and died confident that the promise was true, even if they didn't see it in their own lifetime. Faith is a decision to take God at His word without any other proof necessary. The meaning of hope. So in the same passage here where the writer of Hebrews describes the essence of faith, he also makes reference to the idea of hope. He says that faith is the assurance of things we hope for. Now, hope in the Bible is not the kind of wishful thinking that we refer to in our modern society. So we would say today that I hope I pass my exam. I say I hope I'll win the Powerball. But the term hope in the Bible referred to a sure thing that you fully expect to receive but haven't gotten yet. An example of that would be you've written and passed all your exams in college and you hope to get a diploma. The graduation ceremony is a month away. You don't have your diploma in hand, but you fully expect to receive it. There's no doubt in your mind about this. And this is the biblical meaning of hope. In the Bible, when someone had hope, it meant that they had full assurance that what they were promised in the future, they would receive when the time came. And we can see this in Paul's example. It was Paul's absolute certainty that he would be resurrected from the dead that made him cry out when the Jewish leaders were questioning him, if you remember that. He said he was on trial for the hope and the resurrection of the dead. He wasn't just wishing or guessing. He was sure of it and anticipated it with great pleasure and zeal. Hope was what made him brave and faithful in the face of suffering unto his own death. Hope is the sinner's reply to those who question his faith in Jesus Christ and continual service of the Lord and His church. So some might ask, on what do you base your confidence that you are forgiven, acceptable, and free from sin? And the sinner may answer, my confidence is based on God's goodness and mercy. I see His kindness and mercy towards other sinners recorded in the Bible, and I believe that He did this for them. I therefore am confident, or I have hope, that He will extend this mercy unto me. My hope is not based on how good I am. My hope is based on how good He is. Another question that might be asked is, how and why are you sure you will be raised from the dead? Have you ever seen this done? And I think we would respond that my hope for resurrection is based on the power of God that I have seen, not the power that I haven't seen. I have seen the awesome world that He has created, and it gives me hope. I have seen the life that He has created from nothing more, the life that He's created from nothing, and I have hope. I have seen, through the eyes of the apostles, the resurrection of Jesus, and that gives me hope. So my hope for my own resurrection is based on the power of God that He has already demonstrated. He has shown me that He can do it. He has promised that He will do it. I believe His promise and His power, and this gives me hope that one day I will be raised to a new and perfect life with Him forever. So hope is always based on God, not yourself or from the world. Anyone whose hope is based on God and His Son, Jesus Christ, has the blessed assurance that what God promised, He will deliver. So that's faith and hope. Let's look at the meaning of love. So in the English language, the word love can mean many things. It can mean an affection for a friend. It can mean the bond between a family. It can mean sexual desire. It can mean a benevolent attitude to those who are in need. And we're all familiar that in the Bible, the word translated into English as love did not mean any of these things. The biblical ideas of love refer to a desire for the best for others, even if it costs us something. A shorter way of saying that would be what we all understand to be sacrificial love. Obtaining the best for another, even potentially an enemy, at our own cost. And a good example of that would be Jonathan. The story we're familiar with, right? Saul's son. He was next in line for the throne, but he chose to give up his position as a prince and the heir out of love for David. But not only for his love for David, but he recognized that David was God's choice to succeed Saul. And of course, the ultimate example of sacrificial love is Jesus. Jesus leaves his heavenly position and comes to earth to die a despicable death so his enemies could be saved and have eternal life. We can all serve others in need. We can be people who give ourselves to protect others and willingly copy Jesus' example and attitude in order to cultivate this kind of love in our character is the main goal of every Christian. At the end of the passage in Corinthians, Paul says to remain in faith and hope and love, and this kind of love that we're talking about here. And then he says that love is the greatest. And then back to our original question. Faith and hope are very important, but love is the greatest. And why? So I have three or four potential points here about talking about love. So the first is that love is eternal. Faith and hope are necessary to bring us to salvation and maintain our spiritual lives while we are here on earth. Galatians 3 says, obedient faith puts us into Christ. And Galatians 5 says, constant hope maintains our faith. But hear this. Once we reach heaven, faith and hope will no longer be necessary. Revelations 22 says that we will see God face to face. So we need to believe this as true. We will actually be in his presence. We will also experience a glorified body, the body without sin or death. We will no longer hope for it. We'll have it. In heaven, only love will remain. Only the context and experience of love will be real in heaven. We will love God perfectly because we will know him and do his will perfectly. We will love ourselves perfectly because we will be sinless. There will be no more shame, regret, nothing to dislike about ourselves. We will love others perfectly because Satan will no longer be around to divide us. We will all be together in Christ, perfectly suited and united in perfect peace and love. So love is the greatest because there will be nothing left to respond to in faith, nothing left to hope for. Only love will remain to experience and rejoice in forever. My second point is that God is love. In 1 John chapter 4, John didn't say God is faith or God is hope. He said God is love. The essence of God's character is love. Love is what motivates his actions and defines his being. Love is the greatest virtue because to love is to know God ultimately and to do his ultimate will. So faith believes what God says, hope expects what God promises, but love does what God does. Faith and hope are the best characteristics of the human heart. But when a person loves, they have become spiritual people and a true child of God. All religious people of the world believe in hope. Only godly people love as God does. Love is the greatest because it is the defining characteristic of a spirit-filled person. The true faith and a genuine hope are expressed in Christian love. Without love, faith and hope are worthless. My third point is that love is power. It isn't our faith that has the power to save us. It's God's love that saves us. Faith is our proper response to that love. It isn't our faith or hope that draws people to Christ. It is the love of Christ we show. It's the love of Christ that we show them that brings them to faith and hope, and eventually their own love of Christ and of others. There would be no faith and no hope if it weren't for love. Love was first, and love will be last. And with that idea in mind, I ask everyone the question, has the power of God's love reached you yet? Have you eaten or slept in a comfortable place? That's God's love at work. Have you had others love or care for you? This is God's love at work. Do you have strength, possessions, freedom? That's His love working. Have you heard that His Son died on the cross to pay the price for your sins? That's His love. Do you know that He offers you forgiveness, the Holy Spirit, and eternal life? His love working again. His love is working so that your faith and hope can start working. Your faith in God and your hope in God are working if you believe that Jesus is your Lord and you acknowledge this. And you repent of your sins and are baptized for the forgiveness of those sins. So don't say that your faith and your hope are working if you have not done these things or you're not living in God's love. For faith, hope, and love to come together and produce eternal life, God's love must be there. Your faith and hope must be there. We know God's love is there. We see the proof of it everywhere, every day. So what is needed is your faith and your hope. If you've not given proof of that yet, or have stopped giving proof of it, I'd say don't waste another day. Express your faith and hope in Him now so that you may experience His love forever. Thank you.